Yes, on regeneration. But I want to just to go overall just a little bit, just pass through and see a little bit on regeneration. And if you turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Genesis 1:1, it says in the Word of God, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. 2 says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And verse 3 says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from darkness. And God called this light day, and darkness he called night. So evening and the morning were the first day. If you see this carefully, you will see verse 1, God created the heavens and the earth. And 2, what happened? The earth was without form and void, and there was darkness. And some believe that there was a chaos. There's a difference between verse 1 and 2. God created the earth and the heavens. Then verse 2, it says there was darkness on the face of the earth. Then you see there was a chaos, and the Holy Spirit was brooding over the face of the earth. And verse 3 says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And here we see God speaks His word, and light was there on the face of the earth. The darkness was removed, and there was light. And you will see the creation of the earth. And in the same way, we know that Adam, when he was created in the Garden of Eden, Adam was created in the holiness of God. Adam was created in the very image of God. The Bible says, God created Adam in His own image. When He says Adam, when God created man in His own image, it means man became an immortal soul. Because God is eternal, so man is going to be eternal. Eternal in the kingdom of heaven, or eternally dead without God in the lake of fire. He's an immortal soul. And also, when you say God created man in His own image, meaning that man has the knowledge. When God created Adam, He was created in holiness. He was created in knowledge of God. He was created in righteousness of God. He was created in the holiness of God. And all the other less creatures were subject to Adam and Eve. Adam had dominion over the lesser creations. And Adam was the last of the creations of God. And when you say that God created man in His own image, means the law of God was written in man's heart, not in the animals. What happened? Just like earth was created, then suddenly there was darkness. Right? Verse 2. What happened to Adam? He was created in God's holiness, in His righteousness. When Adam sinned, There came darkness to the entire human race. When man sinned, there was spiritual blindness that came to man. Can hear the word of God, but you don't understand it. There was spiritual blindness, there was hardness of the heart. You don't want to respond to the word of God. Your heart is hard towards God. You're rebellious towards God. You're not seeking God. You're seeking the things of the world. You have pleasure and excitement in the worldly things, not in the word of God, because of the hardness of the heart. And when man sinned, his natural state was, he was dead in transgression and in sin. He was dead. He's dead. Absolutely dead. And when man sinned, his mind, his soul, his body was corrupted in sin. And he's unable to raise himself from that sin situation. He's absolutely unable to make himself alive by himself. So man needs a regeneration. Regeneration is really a new human birth. Born again. That is regeneration. Regeneration means from spiritual death to spiritual life. That is regeneration. You are spiritually dead, now you need to be spiritually alive. You are not sin. You are dead in your sins. So that is regeneration. If you say, well, I was kind of sick, I was not spiritually dead, you don't need regeneration then. But regeneration means from spiritual death to spiritual life. It means a spiritual resurrection. Because you are dead in your sin. You need a spiritual resurrection. It means a new life, a new birth, a new beginning of a new life, a change. It means you become a new creature, a new person in Christ Jesus. It means you're born again. That's regeneration. Now, the agent of the agent of regeneration is not you. Because you are dead. Absolutely, you have no power to regenerate yourself. The agent of regeneration is what you see in the book of Genesis. When God created the earth, in verse 2, what do you see? The earth was in darkness. And who was hovering or brooding over the earth? The Holy Spirit. In the same way, man is dead. Man is in darkness. The agent of regeneration is the Holy Spirit. And the instrument of regeneration is the Word of God. I tell you, there are a lot of people who say, believes, well, I accepted Christ because I had a vision of God. I had a dream. I had a sensational experience. No. The only way you can be regenerated is by the Word of God. It's not through a vision. It's not through a dream. It's not having a sensational experience. It's by the Word of God. The Holy Spirit always, always works with the Word of God. Because 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 says that the Word of God is breathed out by the Holy Spirit. It's not just inspired, some of your Bible says, but it literally means it's breathed out. It's not by saying a prayer you are regenerated. Saying a prayer will not regenerate you. Not coming to church will not regenerate you. Not having any kind of experience will regenerate you. It's only by the Word of God. But regeneration can occur in different You know, you don't have to be a certain age for regeneration. Even children, according to Reformed theologian Brockle, he said that experience teaches that children at the age of 3, 4, 5, 6 of years are regenerated when they hear the word of God. Even little children, when they understand what is sin, who is God, can be regenerated. And you will see they have a true repentance and they have a fear for sin. And God is, their life is focused on God after that. And you will see a change in their lifestyle. And there are teenagers who can be regenerated by the word of God. They can be having all the fun and the excitement in the world, and suddenly when the word of God hears and they are dead in their sins, and like a lightning bolt it hits their hearts, and suddenly their minds are open and they have a fear for God, for the holiness and the justice of God, and they can be regenerated. And oh, doesn't matter how old you are, God can regenerate you. Maybe 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years, still God can regenerate you. So God can there's nothing impossible with God. That's what the word of God says. Little child to an older person or to anybody, with God, there's nothing impossible in regeneration. Now, regeneration, it originates not from the earth. It originates from heaven. When regeneration originates from heaven, regenerated person's mind and his focus is not on earth. His focus is on earth. Not on earth, but in heaven. This is where in the book of Colossians chapter 3, if you turn with me, Colossians chapter 3, Apostle Paul. Verse 1. He goes on to say, since then, this is a regenerated person, you have been raised with Christ. There's a spiritual resurrection. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now where? Hidden with Christ and with God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. And verse 10 says, and you have put on new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge, in the image of the Creator. So regeneration, it originates in heaven, not from the earth. The unregenerated man, his focus is, everything is on the earth. His life depends on this earth. And just like, you know, his whole focus and his life depends on the earth, and his destiny and everything is upon this earth. And the unregenerated man, just like Spurgeon said last time, he is very scared of death. Isn't it true? When people are, you know, the worst thing is the fear of death. As just like Spurgeon said, I'm going to quote as like just like last time, there's an essential difference between the disease of the godly and the death of the ungodly. Death comes to the ungodly man as a penal infliction, but to the righteous man as a summons to his father's palace. To the sinner, it's an execution. To the saint, it's an undressing from his sin and infirmities. To the wicked, it's the king of terrors. To the saint, it's the end of terrors. Now, regeneration, just like sin to the unregenerated person, it affected his soul, his mind, and his intellect. In the same way, the regenerated person, it really, when you're regenerated, it affects your soul, it affects your intellect, it affects your will, it even affects your emotions, your affections towards God. For the regenerated person, when you are truly regenerated, it affects your soul. Because your whole soul is to serve God and to glorify His name. It affects your intellect, meaning, hey, you want to study the Word of God. You want to know Him more and more. You get into the Word of God. It's impossible for a person to say, I'm a Christian and don't study the Word of God. That person is not regenerated. It's impossible. Once you're truly regenerated, the light comes into you. Your heart is open towards God. And you have affections towards God. You have devotion towards God. So your intellect, your mind, you are so eager. You know, it's like the woman Jesus said, the person who found a treasure. You know, so excited. And you want to read more and more. Your will is affected. Before your will, you had a free will. You know, a true Calvinist will believe that man has a will. And his will is not to God, not towards God, but his will is against God. His will is to sin, not to love God, but to be rebellious against God. But now, when you're truly regenerated, your will is to love God, to obey God, to follow God. And your affections, your emotions, the whole man is a spiritual resurrection, is a new creature, a new person in Christ. Psalm 18 verse 1 says, I will love you, O Lord, with all of my strength. So, what are we saying here? A true regeneration will bring what? Fruit. Will show you that you are a Christian. Will show you that you are a light. Will show you that you are the salt on the face of the earth. Now what I want to do is really having a little, just a brief description in a nutshell on regeneration. Okay? We can go on a whole seminar on studying on regeneration. But I want you to turn with me to the Old Testament now, and I will show you some example. This is a great example I want to show you in the Old Testament, in the book of Kings. But before you turn to Kings, I want to give you a little background. You can remember, David had a son, and his son succeeded to become in the king, that was Solomon, right? But what happened in Solomon's later years, you know that Solomon had other wives. And Solomon went and married wives from pagan nations where God prohibited. He became unequally yoked, and God told the Israelites not to marry, not to have intermarriage from other nations. The reason for that is God knew man's heart, that man is weak, that he will copy other nations. And Solomon was disobedient. He went and married wives from other nations, and Lord became very angry with Solomon as Solomon's heart turned away from God. Now we know when Solomon's heart turned away from God, God brought disaster against Solomon's kingdom. Jeroboam, who was the son of Nebat, rebelled against Solomon. And also we see that when a king falls, the whole nation falls. It affects the whole nation. In the same way, we see in a church, when a pastor is not teaching good doctrine, it affects everybody. If God can change the pulpit, He can change the whole congregation. And I thank God, when God changed my heart to Reformation doctrine, it affected everybody. So here we see Solomon. He died after 40 years of reign, and his son succeeded to be the king, Rehoboam, and he became the king, and the kingdom was divided into Judah and Israel. Okay, Judah was ruled by Solomon's son Rehoboam, and Israel was ruled by Jeroboam. Now if you turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 13, God gave a prophecy that was going to happen in later years. And God said, verse 1, "And behold, a man of God went from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Then he cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a child, Hosea, by name shall be born to the house of David, and on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and men's bones shall be burnt on you. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is a sign which the Lord has spoken. Surely the altar shall split apart, and the ashes on it shall be poured out." God is talking about Hosea, and Hosea is not even born at this time. And this prophecy, God even mentioned the name of Hosea hundreds of years before, and you will now see the fulfillment of Hosea in 2 Kings chapter 22. Children to understand. 2 Kings 22 and says, Hosea was 8 years old when he became king. How is that? How old was he? 8 years when he became the king. And he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. His mother's name was Jedidah, daughter of Adidiah. She was from Bozkath. He did what was what? Right in the eyes of the Lord, and walked in all the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right nor to the left. Wow. You can see, if you read before Hosea, the kings were all evil, except for a little bit of Hezekiah, and you will see Manasseh and all the kings, how evil they were, and Ahab and so forth. Then suddenly God fulfills the prophecy which he prophesied hundreds of years ago, and here that prophecy is fulfilled, and here comes Hosea. And verse 11, what happened? When the king heard, now at this time the word of God has been neglected. Okay? People forgot the law of God. People forgot the book. That means the word of God. People forgot what who God was. People were copying and practicing the ways of the world. Now what happened in verse 11? When the king heard the words of the book of the law, what did he do? He tore his robes. I'll tell you, a king who is 8 years old, he could have had a lot of fun, huh? He wanted it. But here, what happened? When he heard the word of the law, the first thing he did was he tore his robes. That shows repentance. That shows that he has sinned against God. That's the first thing which happens when you are regenerated. The first thing that you happen is you tear your audience yourself, and you realize how badly, how miserably you have sinned against God. It's not saying, God, I have sinned against you. I repeat this prayer. Thank you, Lord, for dying for me. Amen. It's not that. Your whole emotions, your whole heart, your will, your strength, everything is affected. That is true repentance. Then verse 12 says, he gave these orders to Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam son of Shaphan, Akbor son of Merah. Why all these names are given? You know, sometimes you might wonder. And Asaiah the king's attendant, you know, why? Because this is a fact. This is a document. The Bible is a fact. It's a document. It's not just a story. God even gives the names of the secretaries and every little detail. And verse 13 says, go and inquire the Lord for me and for the people, for all Judah, about what is written in the book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book. They have not acted in accordance with all what is written there concerning us. This is where true repentance comes in. This is where you realize that you have sinned against God, and that you deserve the wrath of God. You deserve His justice. You deserve His punishment. See verse 18. Tell the king of Judah who sent you, inquire the Lord. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you have heard. Because, verse 19, because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I have spoken against this place and its people, that they would become accursed and laid waste, and because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore I will gather you to your fathers, and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I'm going to bring on this place. So they took her answer back to the king. What do you see here? God says, because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself, God said, on your reign, I'm not going to bring this disaster. So with repentance comes what? Humility. Humility. And if there's no humility in a person, there's no true repentance. And if there's no humility, there's no regeneration. There is humility. And this is what is really lacking in the church today. There's too much pride in the church. Too much pride. There's lack of humility. People are always thinking about themselves. Opposite of humility is pride, self, greed. Humility is taking yourself out.
You're not in anymore when you're regenerated. You're not in anymore. You take yourself out. You become a new person in Christ Jesus, humbling yourself before the Lord and seeing that you are nothing but dust and ashes before God. When there's a lot of pride, what happens is there's quarrels, right? Just like James said, what brings quarrels among you? It's pride in you. It's pride that is. You know, why did Satan fell from heaven? It's a pride. Pride is the worst. Pride is the sin. It's the worst sin. It's a sin that is everything. If you can't talk about sin, everything is surrounded in pride. Why did Adam and Eve disobey God? They were pride. They were so proud that they can do their own thing. And how many times we become so proudful against God, and we do our own thing. Even don't want to listen to the word of God. Even don't want to I know it is not right, but you don't want to obey. That's pride. That's pride too. You know I got to read the word of God, but I got other things to do. That's pride. That's selfishness. You're thinking about yourself. And here, when there's true repentance, God said you were responsive, and your heart was responsive, and you humbled yourself. Now think about the thief on the cross. There were two thieves who were executed with Jesus on that same day. There was one thief was hurling insults at Jesus, right? He was thinking about himself, and he was saying, this is not fair. I don't deserve this. This is not fair. And he was hurling insults at Jesus, you know. And the other thief was saying, hey, I deserve this. And this man, he doesn't deserve. Just imagine when you're going through pain and agony, true pain with nails on the cross, you think you'll be thinking about somebody else? Of course not. You're just thinking about yourself. But this thief was thinking not on himself, but on Jesus. At the time, your pride comes out, right? That's the time the old wizard comes out. So we need humility. And chapter 23, verse 1, 2 Kings. Then the king called to gather all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And he went up the temple of the Lord with the men of Judah, the people of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets, all to the people from the least to the greatest. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which had been found in the temple of the Lord. The king stood by the pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord to follow the Lord and keep his commands, regulations, and decrees with all his heart and all his soul, thus confirming the words of the covenant written in this book. Then all the people pledged themselves to the covenant. Wow. I'll tell you. First is repentance. Then there's humility. Then there's excitement. There's excitement to serve the Lord. And some of you don't have any excitement because you don't have. You're so prideful. And you're not truly repentant. And here, when you're truly repentant and there's humility, then you get the excitement.
as excitement to tell all the people. Just imagine, king's heart was changed and affected the entire nation, entire country. And he wanted people to renew the covenant and to stick to the word of God with all their heart and soul and strength. I tell you, when you are rich, you can forget God. Easy. Right? If God gives you a lot of money, you can buy a beautiful house, a swimming pool, and all the comforts, beautiful furniture. You'll be always focusing on your house then. Because you got all these material things, you know. And you're focusing everything on those, your things. Not on God anymore. Your heart, soul and mind is focusing on other things. And when you're rich, then you can buy a nice, beautiful car. You can buy other things. He's a king. A king. How rich is he? But when he's a king, he's rich. This is what is true regeneration. God, there's nothing impossible with God, right? A king is regenerated. I'll tell you, he can have all the power. But here, even with the richest man, God can use that man for his glory. So, there's action now. There's true action. This demonstration of your regeneration. Let's see, verse 4. The king ordered Hilkiah, the high priest, the priest next rank, and the doorkeepers to remove from the temple of the Lord all the articles made for Baal and Asherah and all the starry hosts. He burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of the Kidron Valley and took the ashes to Bethel. He did away with the pagan priests appointed by the kings of Judah to burn incense on the high places of the towns of Judah and all those around Jerusalem, those who burned incense to Baal, to the sun and the moon, to the constellations, to all the starry hosts. He took the Asherah pole from the temple of the Lord to the Kidron Valley outside Jerusalem and burned there. He ground it to powder and scattered the dust over the graves of the common people. He also tore down the corners of the male shrine's prostitutes which were in the temple of the Lord and where women did weaving for Asherah. Hey, what are you seeing here? When you're truly regenerated, you come against all those worldly pleasures that you had before. You tear them, you burn them, you grind them into powder, meaning you forget them. You forget all the worldly pleasures, the beautiful times that you enjoyed in the world. You tear everything, you burn it, you grind it to powder. Why? You're a new person. You're a new creation. You're a changed man. When regeneration originates from heaven, your focus is not on earth anymore. All those sins is being grinded into powder. He goes on to say, Hosea brought all the priests from the towns of Judah and desecrated the high places from Geba to Beersheba where the priests had burned incense. He broke down the shrines at the gates at the entrance to the gate of Joshua. Verse 9, all of the priests of the high places did not serve at the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem. They ate unleavened bread with their fellow priests. And he goes on and on and on to see that how he pulled down the altars of all those weird gods and trampled them, removed them, burned them, smashed them. And verse 19, just as he had done, Bethel Josiah removed and defiled all the shrines at the high places that the kings of Israel had built in the towns of Samaria that had provoked the Lord to anger. Josiah slaughtered all the priests of those high places on the altars and buried human bones on them. Then he went back to Jerusalem. Pretty heavy. Just imagine, today there are so many people teaching an easy gospel. Okay, comfortable gospel, watered down gospel for people to be comfortable, to happy, to be happy. There's no true repentance, there's no humiliation, there's no true regeneration. What did Hosea do? Kill them. Kill all those people, false prophets. That's how God works. You cannot mess around with the Word of God. You cannot compromise with the Word of God. You cannot have both sides of the end to have, you know, your ways and the Word of God together.
Verse 21 says, the king gave the order to all the people, celebrate the Passover to the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of the covenant, not since the days of the judges who led Israel, nor throughout the days of the king of Israel and the kings of Judah, had any such Passover been observed. But in the 18th year, the king Josiah, this Passover was celebrated to the Lord. Verse 24, furthermore, Josiah got rid of the mediums, the spiritists, the household gods, the idols, and all the other detestable things in Judah and Jerusalem. This he did to fulfill the requirements of the law written in the book of that Hilkiah the priest had discovered in the temple of the Lord. Hey, it's not easy to get rid of your idols. Tell you.
Many people, when they are regenerated, they think they are regenerated and they bring their idols.
You cannot bring your idols. You got to smash them. You got to destroy them.
Who?
You are serving the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul. You cannot serve idols at the same time.
So, what do we see here today?
We see that when God regenerates us, we regenerate the person. If it really truly affects the soul, the mind, the heart, and the will, the emotions, and the affections, and everything,
then you can say, I love you, Lord. I love you. Then you can truly appreciate for what Jesus did on the cross. Because it becomes so effective to you. It becomes, oh, my God, my Lord, He died for me. He took the pain for me. And you can fall at His feet and thank Him for that. Otherwise, it just becomes a religion for you. You can see the cross and Jesus dead. He's a good person for that. He died for me, but, you know, it's not effectual on your life anymore. No effect at all. Becomes a religion. And God becomes real in your life. There is a reality. All the old things have passed away. The new has just begun. You become truly saved. Let's pray. Father, we praise you, we God.